This is Focus West Michigan for Friday, April 10, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki with your local news. Grand Rapids hosted its first ever emergency response training session entirely in Spanish. WGVU's David Limbaugh has more.
The three-hour Community Emergency Response Team, or CERT Level 1 training session, brought Spanish-speaking residents from across Grand Rapids together for hands-on instruction in emergency response and disaster preparedness. CERT provides residents with basic skills in personal and home preparedness, fire safety, and disaster medical operations to help save lives in the critical moments before first responders arrive. City officials say offering the class in Spanish expands these classes to communities that may experience language or cultural barriers during emergencies. According to the latest census, Hispanics make up 16% of the city's population. Between 2010 and 2020, Kent County's Hispanic population grew by 29%. Emergency Management Administrator Benjamin Rance, who is fluent in Spanish, stated, quote, "By delivering this course in Spanish, we're breaking down barriers and building a safer, more resilient Grand Rapids for everyone," end quote. More CERT training opportunities can be found on the city's emergency management website. I'm David Limbaugh.
For those navigating cancer or grief, Gilda's Club Grand Rapids will soon host two special events. WGVU's Jennifer Moss has more.
Gilda's Club Grand Rapids is hosting a wellness event that will focus on healing and mindfulness. It will include relaxation and self-care practices for those who are working through cancer and grief. Gilda's Club President and CEO Wendy Wigger says, quote, "Providing accessible tools for emotional wellness is at the heart of our mission." She adds, "These April events are an opportunity for our community to explore practical techniques for managing anxiety and to experience restorative self-care in a supportive, welcoming environment," end quote. The events include Mindful Detachment, a powerful tool for anxiety relief, which will be held April 13th and 27th, and Self-Care with Healing Nest of West Michigan. That will take place on April 24th. It includes things like yoga and meditation. Both events are free and will be held at Gilda's Clubhouse on Bridge Northwest. You can find out more about either event plus other programming at info@gildasclubgr.org. I'm Jennifer Moss.
A South Korean robotics company is expanding into the West Michigan marketplace. WGVU's David Limbaugh has the details.
Brills Corporation designs and builds automation and robotics systems. This week, the company opened a new facility in Kentwood. The building in the 4,000 block of 40th Street Southeast is over 69,000 square feet. The company will use it to, quote, "expand its reach into the North American automotive supply chain and advanced manufacturing markets, including medical devices and secondary batteries," end quote. The company went on to describe Grand Rapids as, quote, "the hub of American manufacturing innovation," end quote. Last year, Brill signed a contract with AirLife, providing the Walker-based medical device company with an automated packaging system. Brills joins a growing list of automation companies expanding into West Michigan, including JR Automation Technologies in Zeeland and Orca Automation LLC in Wyoming. The company did not specify how many people the Kentwood facility would employ. I'm David Limbaugh.
Coming up soon, WGVU's Scott Vanderwerf previews this weekend's new films, but first, news from around the state. The Michigan Court of Appeals has ruled that the Inkster City Council must read out loud the written public comments of a paralyzed man who is unable to attend its meetings in person. We have more from Rick Pluta.
Charles Blackwell says he emailed comments in advance and those were read out loud twice before the council ended the practice. Blackwell says he believes the council stopped reading his statements out loud because they were critical of city officials. Blackwell, who is paralyzed below the waist, says it's not enough for the comments to be merely included in the meeting's official records. He says the purpose of public comment periods is not just to persuade the council.
Being able to have your comments heard allows for members of the public in attendance at those meetings to also be able to hear what you have to say.
The city did not respond to a request for comment. The decision could be appealed to the Michigan Supreme Court. I'm Rick Pluta.
The largest county Republican party in Michigan and John James, the Republican frontrunner for governor, are at odds over a debate later this month. Colin Jackson has more.
James, the current Republican frontrunner for governor, has largely avoided sharing the stage with his opponent so far. His campaign argues he'd rather wait until the candidate field is set. but the Oakland County GOP this week criticized him for not planning to show up at an upcoming debate. Party senior advisor Brian Schmidtke says the absence speaks volumes.
We have lower propensity voters participating in elections at rates that just haven't been seen before. And I think it's imperative that candidates are able to be out there providing clear contrast, right?
Other candidates include businessman Perry Johnson, Michigan Senate Minority Leader Eric Nesbitt, and former State Attorney General Mike Cox. I'm Colin Jackson.
A mid-Michigan Republican representative says he would like to see Congress asking more questions about the Iran war. Republican Tom Barrett says we need to learn the lessons from Afghanistan, Iraq, and the global war on terror.
Certainly war is a very, very serious thing. Use of force and conflict is a very serious thing that I think we need to take seriously as members of Congress.
Barrett says he disagrees with President Donald Trump's threat to wipe out an entire civilization, though the mid-Michigan Republican says it is important to ensure that Iran does not develop a nuclear weapon. Focus West Michigan is brought to you by listeners like you. To support this show and everything we do here, visit WGVUnews.org and click the donate button. And for a weekly dose of news right to your inbox, sign up for the WGVU newsletter. Today's movie talk features You, Me, and Tuscany, a romantic comedy starring Halle Bailey, a remake of the 1978 film Faces of Death, the 30th anniversary of Jerry Maguire, and the return of the IMAX documentary Cave of Forgotten Dreams. WGVU Scott Vanderwerf and Zach Righetti from Studio C talk about those movies and more.
And the big film for this weekend, You, Me, and Tuscany, a romantic film with Halle Bailey and Reggie Jean Page, or maybe it's Reggie Jean Page. And Zach, what are you hearing about this?
Yeah, I think, you know, here we are. We're post Mario and ready for some just new content. It's 78% on Rotten Tomatoes currently. And I think this just looks like a wonderful, fun little like sort of rom-com. Halle's character meets this guy who or knows this guy who basically just tells her that he's got this vineyard in Tuscany and no one's ever there. And so she tells her best friend that she, I think, is going to go. She decides she's going to go spend some time sneaking into this villa. And she does that and turns out it's not abandoned. There are people there, and she was in the process of just like looking around and finds this beautiful ring and puts it on, and people find her with it on, and then they assume that she's engaged to this guy that she knows who's back in the U.S. And so she sort of plays along with it, and as she's going along, she also meets his cousin who Reggie plays, and they sort of, you know, build this relationship while he's sort of like been asked to give her tours around like the vineyard and around the city and, you know, just help her enjoy her time while she's there. And so, you know, they sort of begin this relationship, building this relationship. And then, of course, you know, the guy eventually comes back and is like, what are you doing here? And she's like, what are you doing here? And, you know, it's kind of like, well, I, you know, sorry. So sort of this like romantic comedy, you know, where do you sort of go on the adventure and find love along the way? But I think it looks just like a fun time.
And I'm just picturing, you know, not having seen any clips or previews or anything, I'm picturing a lot of beautiful Italian countryside, lots of wine and good food, which seems to accompany this type of you know, rural foreign getaway romantic film.
Totally. And, you know, as an Italian person myself, you get the whole family, right, that's like in this villa that has, you know, all of the like, you know, the love bombing that Italians do with, you know, food and, you know, hugs and excitement. And so, yeah, I think, you know, you just get that persona amplified when she's there.
Also, we've got Faces of Death, which is a remake of a 1978 horror film. And what are you hearing about this film?
Yeah, this the original film was directed by a man named John Allen Schwartz. It was sort of a compilation of just a bunch of like random sort of like real and not real videos of like strange.
Okay, deaths. Now this is ringing a bell now for myself, being alive back then. This was considered almost a snuff film.
Yeah,
but it wasn't real, or was it real?
Well,
I always thought that these Faces of Death films, there was a series of them, from the late 70s through the 80s, that they actually were documentary footage of people being executed or killed.
Yeah, so the. I know, like, with the original, there was a lot that they, like, made for the film. But then I think that there was a few in there that maybe were real. And that is a sort of, like, I think part of the medium of this genre or this franchise.
But this is completely fictionalized.
Well, you're talking about this new one?
The new one.
As far as we know. No, it stars Barbie Ferreira, who... she plays someone who works at a like a website content moderator, and so they just spend their time watching clips that are posted online and essentially either flagging them and removing them or allowing them to stay, you know, on the interweb. And so she comes across just some of these, what we would say, like the Faces of Death videos. And things just kind of spiral from there, like just whether or not, they're real. She starts to kind of go around the sort of like rabbit hole that we just kind of were of like, are these real? Are they fake? Are people actually getting, hurt and murdered in certain random weird ways? And then there sort of is like this conspiracy piece to it. But then people start sort of coming after her. And so... she sort of goes on the run and stuff like that because of sort of she's trying to stand up for him. People are just like, whatever, who cares? Just confirm it and all that stuff. Put it on the web. It's just this sort of like very niche horror film.
And of course, in the 1970s and the 80s as well, this would have been material that was documented on film. And then this was presented. These films were presented as, film. And now dealing with this, the technology from the last 25, 30 years of the internet, and seeing and being able to see videos. And I'm sure that there are that YouTube and other places employ people to pay attention to what's being uploaded and taking down things that's problematic in this type of thing. So also we've got the 30th anniversary of Jerry Maguire.
Yeah, back for just... a limited run. Who doesn't love this movie? But 30th anniversary is like crazy. It's one of those ones where it pops up in my inbox and I'm like, oh my gosh, 30 years. It's been as wild. But excited to have it back. And then we've also got this upcoming Wednesday and then the following Sunday, two shows on two separate days of Cave of Forgotten Dreams on IMAX, which is sort of the IMAX documentary from 2010 of some filmmakers who were granted access to sort of this cave they found with, a bunch of markings on it and in it. And I had done a little bit of research into sort of just like the filmmaking process because they were only given like, I think it was maybe 4 days total in hours to like film this whole thing. And so, and they weren't allowed to bring certain things in, to the cave. So they had to like be very strategic on who came in with them. And I think it was literally the person who's in the documentary, the cameraman, someone doing audio, and then maybe one other person holding a light, but like they could only bring certain lights in, like, cause they didn't want to mess with anything and preserve everything in the cave. So sort of an extraordinary documentary. Again, it opened in 2010. It's back in IMAX 3D for these shows. So looking forward to it.
And still playing, as we talked about it last week, Exit 8.
I just love this film. Like, I really can't wait to go watch it again. It's now like certified 94% on Rotten Tomatoes. It's based off of a video game called Exit 8. It's sort of in this genre of you've had, Iron Lung earlier in January. You've got this movie. And then later this year, we'll talk about Backrooms, which are all three movies based on sort of this like indie horror-ish genre of video games. And they're games that like people love that have sort of like a lot of online following and draw to them. But they're very niche. And so, like, it's just really fun to see them getting sort of their time on the big screen. So, yeah, just excited to have things like this and yeah, just have diverse content.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks, Scott.
This has been Focus West Michigan from WGVU for Friday, April 10, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki. Our audio operations manager is Rick Bierling, and our news and public affairs director is Patrick Center. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll be back with more news and events in West Michigan on Monday. Thanks for listening.